America stands at a crossroads of competing philosophies that have shaped its destiny for over two centuries. At its core, George Will's The Conservative Sensibility reveals a fundamental tension between two visions of America: the founders' belief in natural rights and limited government versus the progressives' vision of an evolving constitution and expanding state power. This isn't just an academic debate, it's the philosophical battle that explains our current political polarization. What makes American conservatism unique? Unlike European conservatism, which defends throne and altar traditions, American conservatism seeks to conserve institutions promoting social dynamism and individual liberty. Americans were born free from feudal structures, had a revolution setting people free to pursue happiness as they choose, and created a constitution specifically limiting government power. This exceptional foundation explains why the principles of natural rights and limited government remain so central to American identity. The stakes couldn't be higher. If rights are natural and pre-exist government, they exist beyond majority rule. As Justice Jackson memorably declared in 1943, fundamental rights may not be submitted to vote. They depend on the outcome of no elections. This principle, that certain rights lie beyond democratic majorities, forms the cornerstone of the American experiment. Two competing visions of America present profound implications for liberty. Madison designed a constitutional system protecting natural rights from government overreach, while Wilson advocated an administrative state guided by expert management rather than constitutional constraints. Madison's solution to preventing tyranny was cultivating factions. In an extensive republic, scale ensures majorities remain unstable coalitions of minorities. In Federalist 10, he noted that extending the sphere brings greater variety of interests, making it less likely for a majority to invade others' rights. Wilson argued in 1887 that all idea of a limitation of public authority by individual rights be put out of view, and that no line exists between private and public affairs which the state may not cross at will. He viewed the Constitution's checks and balances as a radical defect. This divide persists today. Recently, Congress passed 2,966 pages of laws, while federal agencies produced 97,110 pages of regulations, creating what Madison defined as tyranny, the accumulation of all powers in the same hands. The Declaration of Independence revolutionized politics by asserting fundamental truths about human nature and government's purpose. The founders believed in fixed human nature and natural rights discernible through reason, what Lincoln called God's decree that never can be reversed. Locke's insight that men may choose different things and yet all choose right launched classical liberalism by acknowledging diverse preferences, establishing governance not to enforce virtue, but to secure individuals pursuing happiness. The Declaration serves as the Constitution's conscience, both chronologically and logically prior to it. As Sandifer notes, liberty is the goal at which democracy aims, not the other way around. The Constitution follows from the Declaration, with democracy being the means to secure liberty. The founders embraced democracy without sentimentality, designing a system reflecting what Diamond called the American people's sensible self-doubt, accommodating human flaws without requiring constant civic virtue. Today's divide exists between those believing rights precede government versus those believing the reverse. Competing views of we the people as either individuals with natural rights or a collective whose majority should prevail. Picture a farmer's market functioning efficiently without central authority. This spontaneous order exemplifies Hayek's marvel, the market's ability to coordinate countless individual decisions without direction. Hayek's 1945 essay explained why central planning fails. Necessary knowledge exists only in dispersed bits among individuals. Markets function through price signals, allowing responses to scarcity without understanding the entire system. The more civilized we become, the more relatively ignorant must each individual be of the facts on which civilization depends. This creates tension. Conservatives appreciate market society's spontaneous order, while progressives seek predictability and control. Intellectuals often resent markets functioning without their guidance, ignoring how the vulgar commercial class enables their existence. Would you trade your middle-class life today for Rockefeller's 1916 fortune? Despite his wealth, you'd lack modern healthcare, antibiotics, and innovations that created unprecedented prosperity. Modern government promotes economic growth while imposing regulations that impede it, what Bell called the cultural contradictions of capitalism. The American creed champions equal freedom while grappling with unequal outcomes. Will criticizes conservatives who separate equality of opportunity from equality of condition, as existing conditions inherently shape opportunities. Lincoln spoke of lifting weights for equal chance, while Johnson argued freedom is not enough for the formerly oppressed. Government policies like FHA redlining actively limited opportunities by directing mortgages away from black neighborhoods. James Coleman's 1966 research showed socioeconomic background, not school funding, primarily predicted achievement. Early verbal environments create stark inequalities. Poor children hear 600 words hourly versus 2100 for professional class children, creating a 30 million word deficit by age 3. America's quiet catastrophe reveals fewer prime working age men employed today than during the Great Depression. This largely voluntary retreat from work, supported by benefits and family, has America ranking near last in male workforce participation among affluent nations, a cultural shift threatening self-governance. History connects generations through accumulated wisdom. Woodrow Wilson noted that education makes youth artificially old through seasoned ideas, preventing society from becoming infantile in every generation. Today's education increasingly fails at this task. History deprivation, once used to control enslaved people, is now self-inflicted through presentism, judging historical figures by contemporary standards without context. This combines ignorance with arrogance. Postmodernism has infiltrated academia with the notion that there are no facts, only interpretations. Yet facts do exist, as shown when students cheered Franco's fascists simply because they were labeled rebels. Multiculturalism as ideology claims all standards for judging cultures are culture-bound. This undermines democracy, which requires a demos, a shared identity built through education and civic rituals. Though early Americans were diverse in faith, language, and local attachments, they united through commitment to natural rights and constitutional government. Educators should transmit the ideas and virtues on which a consent-based society depends, rather than reducing people to group identities. We stand at a pivotal moment in American history. The conservative mission today is to convince people that government promises are unsustainable and corrupt our national character. As Reagan noted, we asked things of government that government was not equipped to give. Government expands through interest groups unwilling to surrender their benefits. Americans' trust in government has plummeted from 77% in 1964 to just 20% in 2017, coinciding with government's expansion through ambitious distributive justice programs. Despite Clinton's 1997 claim that the debate over government's role was ending, it continues unabated. The American founding transformed world history by translating ideas into constitutional institutions. Our challenge now is whether we can return to our founding principles. The conservative sensibility isn't about preserving privilege, it's about conserving principles that enable human flourishing. It recognizes that liberty requires limits on government power, that markets harness knowledge no central planner can possess, and that culture shapes opportunity more profoundly than policy.